fighter jets in a ceremonial flypast over Poland's National Football Stadium on the banks of the Vistula River in Warsaw. There's an eclectic mix of Western and former Soviet-era warplanes, not least Russian-built MiG-29s, from the Slovak and Polish air forces. It's a reminder that NATO, now with 28 members, has expanded significantly since the end of the Cold War. There's a certain irony in this summit taking place in Warsaw, for it was the Polish capital that gave its name to the Soviet-led alliance, the Warsaw Pact, that was ranged against NATO during the Cold War. Now a NATO member, Poland feels vulnerable with a resurgent Russia just across its border to the east. But it's three other NATO members who feel the threat even more keenly: the small Baltic states of Lithuania, Latvia and Estonia. In the wake of Russia's seizure of Crimea, they feel a similar scenario might be played out on their territory. David Schlepak, a senior analyst with the RAND Corporation in Washington, D.C., told me why the Baltic states feel so vulnerable.
Two of them, Latvia and Estonia, have substantial Russian-speaking, Russian ethnic populations, which give them a certain similarity to eastern Ukraine and Crimea. They are weakly defended. Their own militaries are very small and consist largely of very lightly equipped, lightly armed forces.
David Schlepak has carried out extensive wargaming, which suggests that the Baltic capitals could fall to Russian troops within a matter of days. Arriving for the summit at the Narodowy football stadium, Warsaw's equivalent of Wembley, NATO's Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg stressed the need to face this changing threat from the east.
We will make important decisions at the summit on how to strengthen our defense and deterrence. We will decide to increase our forward presence in the eastern part of the alliance with four new battalions, multinational robust battalions, and they will send a clear message that an attack on one ally will be an attack on the whole alliance.
Britain looks set to play a key role as NATO's gaze returns eastwards. The multinational battalion deploying to Estonia, for example, will be UK-led and include 500 British troops. But Mr. Cameron also had a rather different problem here in Warsaw. The Brexit shadow hangs over British foreign policy, with murmurings in the corridors here about Britain's future commitment to European defence. Mr. Cameron sought to spread a blanket of reassurance.
Britain may be leaving the European Union, but we're not turning our back on Europe and we're not turning our back on European defence and security.
British reassurance is one thing, but it's NATO reassurance against Russia that the Baltic republics need. So has NATO done enough at this Warsaw summit? David Schlepak again.
And a big ship takes a long time to turn. And NATO is a very big ship, and we're asking it to make a very big turn. The steps it takes are going to be deliberate, and they're going to be incremental. I look at these four battle groups as being a step along the road. The signal they send to Moscow, I think, is a very strong signal of the alliance's intentions to defend the Baltics.
David Schlepak hopes that this will not be the last NATO reinforcements dispatched eastwards. But the wider hope is that Russia, too, will change course, that it will moderate its behaviour and become a more predictable player. An early test will be a new NATO-Russia meeting in Brussels next week. Post-Warsaw, they certainly have plenty to talk about.